bind us together. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. There is only one
Or we. Thank you for the microphone. We are set upon a new course, a new activity, and I appreciate you coming a half an hour early or maybe more than an hour and a half late. We're glad that you're here to worship. Please invite your friends. We are doing a new thing. We ask that you be patient as we learn new opportunities. Our worship team felt that this would be an opportunity for us this summer to really know everybody in the church. To know the people who come early, the people who come late, the people who are part of this sacred community are important, each and every one. And we encourage you to be regular attenders at this hour, 10 o'clock, for worship each Sunday morning during the summertime. And with that, we simply ask you to stand. Would you greet one another and tell one another what you've been praying about lately? Okay? What have you been praying about lately?
Hey, if I could have the kids come up so we could chat for a few here. So come on up. There we go. Okay. Okay. Wow, guys, it is summer outside now, isn't it? It's feeling pretty good. So I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Max, Jameson, and Annie's from Madison, and me and Isaac, we got to sleep at the church last night. So we were in this room last night running around in the dark. It was pretty fun, right? So we're all a little sleepy today. So that brings us to prayer, because I think I could use some prayers today for some rest and some sleep. What do you guys think? We're talking about prayer today. So when we pray, what do we pray about? We pray to God and we tell him what? Anything, right? Does God only want to hear about things when you're sad? Does he only want to hear about things when you're mad? Only want to hear about things when you're happy? No, that is the greatest thing about prayer, is that we have somebody who wants to hear about all of those things. He wants us to talk to him when we're sad, or when we're angry, or when we're frustrated, or when we're happy. That's the greatest thing about prayer, right? We always have God to talk to. Is it easy for us to remember to always talk to God? You guys think it is? I think it's kind of a hard thing sometimes. I have to remember sometimes to take time out of my day and talk to God, right? So in Prayground today, we're making some prayer stones. We've got little rocks out with some markers. You guys can color on them and you keep them in your pocket. Whenever you put your hand in your pocket, you'll feel it there. And it'll remind you to stop for a moment, take a big, deep breath, and talk to God and let him know what's going on, right? Because when we pray, it's our chance to celebrate. It's our chance to praise God for all that he gives us. It's also our chance to ask him for some help. It's also our chance to thank him for all the things that he has done for us, right? So prayer is kind of a cool thing. You guys talk to friends all day long, right? You guys talk to your families. But it's also just as important for us to talk to God and build that relationship, right? So this week, I want you guys to think about that. I want you guys to try every single day this week to take just a moment to have a prayer for God. It can be a quick prayer. It can be a long prayer. It can be a quiet prayer, or you can say it out loud. But try to think this week, one time every day, to just pause, take a deep breath, and talk to God. Can you do that? Does that sound hard to do? Okay, we're going to try it. We're going to talk about it next week. How's that sound? Okay, can we say a prayer right now all together? Guys, bow your heads. Say, hey, God, thank you for this summer day. Thank you for all that you give us. Please help us when we are sad. Remind us to be thankful for our families. And help us to praise you always. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
And thank you, Larissa. Thank you very much. One of the things I'm so proud of you for is how easily, it's a little hot, how easily you adapted as a congregation to pray with our children. It really touches me. And before I came, that wasn't the case, but now we pray together, easy as pie, right? Just so beautiful. Thank you. Our ushers are coming forward to help us celebrate. Giving is a celebration. It's a celebration of who we are and whose we are. And as we give from our hearts, the work of God continues. Please give generously for the work of Jesus Christ in this church.
Thank you. So this summer we will have a new doxology that we'll be doing. Those of you that sing are at the 903 all the time, you already know this very, very well. But the folks from the 1030 don't know this at all. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to sing this twice. Okay, first time, just grab onto whatever you can. And the second time, you will have it. This is cake.
And praise. Your love made the way to come home today. We will honor you all our day. Again, worthy are you, O Lord, of all of our thanks and praise. Your love made the way to come home today. We will honor all our days.
Lord God, as we bring it all together, the music, the people, your sacred heart, we join in together in worship. We thank you for all the planning and thought that have gone into this combined service, this unified expression of Mountain View's hope and promise and future. Thank you for these gifts and the givers. We come to worship you today, O God. Let it be so. Amen.
Our second congregational song is Sweet Hour of Prayer. Please join us.
My every care and wait for thee.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture today is from John 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much, Lynn, and thank you all. It really does require a certain amount of flexibility to do new things. Change is hard, right? Change is hard. From time to time, you'll see me clench my fist and kind of rub my arm. Carpal tunnel from boxing everything up at our house. We're a bunch of pachyderms at our house. We've been packing. And the hard part is not the big items that you might think, the furniture, the televisions, the electronics. No, it's every knickknack you ever thought you might want that has to be dusted, cleaned, packed carefully for the move, which is exactly 15 and a half miles from here. So change is difficult. And Jesus, in this passage, talked about praying for others. This is one of the only examples, I think, in the Bible where we see Jesus praying for us. It's really interesting to me. Jesus prays for us. We often turn to Jesus, and Jesus is our source. But here in this passage, Jesus is praying not only for the people he knew, his disciples, but everybody who believed on because of their witness. And you and I are part of that long line of folks who praise God and worship God because of the disciples' message to us. And then he launches in John in this all for one and one for all kind of message. And it's really repetitive. If you read the passage from the 14th chapter of John, he says this thing over and over and over again. God is in me, I am in God, we are one together. All for one and one for all, the three musketeers kind of thing, you know? That's really an important piece for John. It's an important expression of faith that we remember that we're connected to the holy. And how we connect with the holy in the primary way, I think, is through prayer. You know, if you know me at all, that I love gardening, and I love gardening catalogs. And even in this season of being a pachyderm, and even in this season of not doing much more than planting a few lettuces in the garden for myself and for our new pastor who's coming at the end of this month. I haven't been doing much gardening, but I did see in a gardening catalog this sign. It says that life began in a garden. And I really like that. How much we would gain if we looked closely and took that notion to heart. Life began in a garden, and it's still true today. Indeed, a lot of important things happen in us when we turn to tend the earth for God's purposes. We stretch the body, we fill the senses, we attend the patterns of life, and prioritize for goodness and for God the things of God. And in fact, a lot of good happens in us when we seek God through prayer, when we stretch the soul, when we fill the heart, when we attend to the patterns of life and prioritize the things of God in prayer. They're similar. They're quite similar, I think, these two activities. If one hasn't been in the garden for a while, the work comes with a lot of planning and effort, bending and stretching and pulling. And one can expect to be a little sore following the first few days in the garden, turning the soil, planting the seed. Still, there's something utterly satisfying to me as one turns the soil and feels the sun on one's face and smells the freshness of God's clean earth. Like gardening, seeking God through prayer requires effort on our part, even strain, as we bend to tend the garden of our souls. Keeping up with the work pays dividends. And personally, I find that I have to check regularly to see if I've relied upon God enough as my daily reference point. And we do this through prayer. When I'm distracted and distressed, I can forget to include God in my life. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Turning to God helps us tend the garden of our heart, nurturing the relationships like Larissa mentioned, weeding out the distractions and putting things in their proper perspective. Prayer helps us to do that. Prayer changes what I thought was important and sets my feet on a different path entirely early in the day till late at night. There was a businessman who decided to landscape his grounds and garden. He hired a highly trained landscape architect to lay it all out. Very experienced and extremely knowledgeable she was, because the business was very busy and he had a lot of traveling. So he kept emphasizing to her over and over again the need to create this garden in a way that would require little or no maintenance on his part. He insisted on automatic sprinklers, drip systems, and other labor-saving devices, even a mower that would cut the lawn from an app on his phone. What could go wrong, right? Finally, she stopped him and said, "There's one thing you need to deal with before we go any further, sir. There is no gardener, there is no garden. If there is no gardener, there is no garden." Dejected, the businessman said, "Well, let's just forget it," and he gave up. Seeking God through prayer will seem like work at first. Planning and purposing, stretching and straining, reminding ourselves to turn to God. But the landscape architect had it right. If there is no gardener, even the garden of our heart can produce no fruit. And if we try to outsource our spiritual growth, we will very likely see no results from it, and we'll give up too. Friends, when tending in the garden of our hearts, prayer begins something wonderful, which the heart requires, the deep growth we cannot live without, the deep purpose and hope and resources that we need to make good choices, to be good people in a good place. What happens in us is the reward of our prayer life, not the bargains that we work out in our own minds or the demands we make of God. If I do this, then God will give me that. No, God is not a giant vending machine. That's not the point of a relationship with God. The first person to be changed when we pray is us. And as we soak in God's presence and allow God to reshape our being, repurposing and reprioritizing our lives, we begin to see the light that God has for us to live to his vision of who we can be. That's what builds our faith by spiritual practice. Filling our senses with God's holy presence, attending to the patterns and promises of an authentic faith, all the while acknowledge a certain give and take in life. I want us to remember today our youth and Pastor Sarah and her volunteers who are in southeastern Colorado, on mission trip and mission tour. A lot of volunteers involved with that. Prayers that those children and youth and their sponsors not only would be safe, but that they would really grow in their faith and trust of God. Surprisingly capable, Pastor Sarah is able to help all of us learn and live the faith that we cherish as people of God. There's a story about a pastor who was building a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine in his backyard. And as he pounded away, he saw that a little boy was watching him from the neighbor's yard. The youngster didn't say a word, and he just stood there staring. The pastor kept working, thinking the lad would go back inside, but he didn't go back home. And finally, the pastor said, "Well, son, are you trying to pick up some pointers on gardening and woodwork?" "No," he said. "I'm just waiting, wanting to hear what the preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Trust me, it's the same thing that you say. I guess I hope it turns into a prayer of some sort. Oh, God! Seeking God through prayer requires a certain give and take between our spiritual effort and God's grace. No one is perfect. And no life is complete without including our Creator in the day-to-day delights and disappointments that we all face. An authentic, sense-filled, grounded, and joyful existence is built upon sharing our lives with God, who has invited us into the divine dance and poetry of daily living. A story that traces its roots to the American Revolution has a traveling preacher on horseback meeting a farmer at the crossroads to town. And after a long-winded greeting, the preacher says, "Providence has surely blessed us with this marvelous country. How beautiful it is! The heavens and the land are marvel. Why, just look at what God has done with this beautiful field." It's exactly the way he said it. And the farmer, chewing on a piece of wheat, said, "You should have seen it when God had it all to himself." Seeking God through prayer is participatory. It's transformational. And if we forget to include God in our daily chores, our daily life, it leaves things rather empty. Prayer involves God, and it involves us joined in the life-changing adventure. And these 8 years have been part of my adventure with you. Such a thrill to share these times with you. Just like gardening, a meaningful prayer life isn't going to grow all by itself. But a cultivated garden of prayer, an orchard of hope, can bear fruit for our salvation and empower a bountiful existence. It can even change the world. I love the sassy analog that says, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car." This is what says to me that God has an expectation that his people will rely on him, that we, God's people, will rely upon God. Even in the darkest of our nights or the depth of our despairs, the change in us that prayer brings is nothing to sneeze at. It has a power and a purpose which backed by God, both by divine zeal and holy expectancy, changes things far more than we ever believed possible. Just maybe not in the way we thought possible. The things that we demand for God, the activity of prayer, pulls us into God's sphere, into God's purposes, into God's plans. And as creaturely beings, this may be the high watermark of our spiritual existence. We become part of the common wheel of the divine in prayer and begin to feel the full weight and value of our souls as we interact with each other and as we consider and contemplate in our hearts what it is life is all about. As in the backyard garden, when we routinely turn the soil and plant the seed and create the conditions for fruitfulness, things begin to blossom. And so, through prayer, when we welcome the author of life into our daily chores, we anticipate the harvest that is to come. Not so long ago, we had teenagers in our house, and they were embarrassed to be seen with us in public. They were even embarrassed to be asked questions about their lives. And we would ask them, "What did you do at school today?" "Stuff." "What kind of stuff did you do in school?" "School stuff." "What kind of food did you have?" "At the cafeteria." "School food." It was very frustrating. The Reverend Dr. Dorothy Butler Bass is a historian of American religion, and she tells the story of a mother who had a different approach, a different way of asking those questions. When she tucks her children into bed each night, assuming the children will still let you do that, their teeth brushed, their hair still damp from the bathtub or shower, and before she prays with each one of them, she asks them this question: where did you meet God today? And she reports getting some very different answers to the norm. They tell her one by one, "A teacher helped me. I met God there. There was a homeless person in the park. I met God there. I saw a tree with lots of flowers on it and a bird that I hadn't seen in the neighborhood before. I met God there." She tells them where she met God too, in the grocery store, at work, in the midst of an active life. And before the children drop off to sleep, the stuff of their day has become the substance of prayer. How has the stuff of your day become the substance of prayer? And these children enter a thin place with their mother, where the presence of God is very near indeed. Life began in a garden. And gardening can teach us a lot about life. To stretch, to tune the senses, to attend to essential patterns, and to prioritize the things of God. The stress of our life needs to have a balance restored. And seeking God through prayer, we not only engage in a life-giving exercise, we discover that it is faithfulness which produces fruitfulness for us and for God's kingdom. And both of these are within our grasp. It is a matter of prioritizing our time. It is a matter of turning to the God of our creation. It is a matter of discovering an openness we thought we could never have again. In prayer, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus' promise to his followers is fulfilled. In prayer, you and I are joined to God's purposes for our days. In prayer, the garden of our heart is prepared for the blessings of faith which are fulfilled through Jesus Christ. In prayerful conversation with God, whether it's at church or at home or in the garden or on your way to work, we begin to prioritize God and the things of God in our workaday lives. And from there, who knows how God would use us to touch others, to encourage others, to bring them hope. And you and I are empowered to live new lives with a bigger purpose, with a greater breadth than we ever thought possible. Life began in a garden, and it continues to be cultivated there. The garden of our hearts is where we tend to essential matters and are empowered still to a more vital existence, a more excellent way. Jesus in this passage prays for each one of us, those who have followed after his disciples. And so the spiritual practice of prayer today is wrapped around you, please, thinking to pray for somebody else. If you don't have anybody you want to pray for that you know about, we'll do this privately. You could pray for the people in the back page of your bulletin, people who need prayers. Herb Vincent had a surgical procedure this week, Sharon. We continue to pray for you. Bless you. Kitty Lewis needs our prayers. Frazier and Jen Thomas had a stepchild who died. Donnie Galloway's son is recovering from surgery. That's such good news. Praise be to God. And Jay Elliott has had surgery. So you probably have other people in mind. If you would assume a posture of prayer and openness, however feels comfortable to you, and take a moment to pray for somebody else. And how appropriate it is then for us to move from our prayers for ourselves and for others into Holy Communion, that sacred time of sacrament and hope. Christ our Lord invites all who love him and earnestly repent of their sin to seek peace and to live with their neighbor open to your Holy Spirit. So let us offer our silent confessions. Still sinners, so this proves God's love for us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. The Lord be with you. We lift up our hearts. Dear God, it is a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks. Creator of heaven and earth, bringer of unity, we acknowledge Jesus, your anointed one, and are here and sustained in our journey of faith by your love and his example. We travel this road of hope and grace, a journey of prayer, discovery, and gratitude, seeking unity with you and one another. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, singing. You, O God, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word manifest in the flesh. You reveal yourself in Jesus, your beloved child, who gives us a glimpse of your glory and invites us to share in the unity of all that is holy, the holiness that is you, your creation, your people, united in the Spirit that breaks through all boundaries of fear and prejudice. So help us here today, O Lord of life, and teach us to be one. One in love for each other, one in love for creation, one in understanding with all who find in Jesus the way to you. And consecrate these gifts of bread and cup, Almighty God, that we might discover our unity in this sacred meal. And consecrate us, our souls and our bodies, to your loving service among all peoples. For you have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts and revealed through prayer your divine mystery. Amen. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup of blessing at the Passover feast and said, "Drink ye all of this. Do this in remembrance of me. Taste and see, God is good." And when the supper was over, after taking the cup, "And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, God, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith today."
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, O God, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. For you have broken the tyranny of sin and have set the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought in the glorious unity of the children of God. For all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would those who are to assist come forward at this time?
Now we meet and rest. Jesus risen, we'll bring in the kingdom. Jesus risen, we'll bring in the
redemption of the world. Are there others who desire this sacrament? Our closing song, as we stand together and worship and know his love, we are God's people. May it be so for us today. As we close our worship today, we want to turn your attention to all the things that are going in the life of Mountain View. On the back page, you'll see an adult forum opportunity, clothing collection, a group meeting for lunch on the 5th of June, bridge and love and of love and coin offering for our annual conference offering, vacation Bible school. Gee, who knew about that? Do you have anything more to say to us? Vacation Bible school, Larissa?
We start a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow?
Join us.
Come and join us. We'll have a great time, and the kids need us. Roar, roar. Can you sound like a lion? Roar. Excellent. That's the theme for Vacation Bible School. And, of course, our celebrations to bid farewell to Pastor Sarah on the 23rd and our family on the 30th. Receive this benediction with heart and head uplifted. The grace of God is with us in all the changes that life would bring. In our hopes, in our hearts, in our gardens, in the orchards of prayer and the promises of God, we can put our faith and trust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, be with you as you pray your way through the day. Amen.
Let us praise God with our voices. Let us sing unto the Lord. He is righteous, He is holy. He's the source of life and love. Let us praise God all together. As the Spirit shows us the song. Thank you, Father, for our Savior. In your will is where we belong. We are blessed, we are blessed. We are blessed to be in your family. We are blessed, we are blessed. Give us thankful hearts as we sing to Spirit, dwell in our worship. Fill our hearts and minds with your love. Make us servants to each other, imitating Christ above. We are blessed, we are blessed. We are blessed to be in your family. Thankful hearts as we sing to Thee. We are blessed, we are blessed. We are blessed to be in your family. We are blessed, we are blessed. Give us thankful hearts as we sing.